Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445, every night here till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. And we invite you to join us at philhendryshow.com for our little BSP party that we have. We have a family of backstage pass holders who watch live streaming video of the show. It starts every night at 9:15, as a matter of fact, about 9:15 Pacific time, so it's 12:15 on the East Coast. And you get some behind the scenes. It could get pretty strange. I mean, the whole sorry parade of my life is played out there. Also, you get access to all of the video on our site, all of the audio on our site, thousands of hours, over a decade's worth of audio. And hit the link on our homepage if you go visit, and you can get our free Phil Hendry podcast. The free Phil Hendry podcast twice a week is available to you there as well. Just visit us at philhendryshow.com. Chris Norton is going to join us. Mr. Norton, a 28-year-old telemarketer from Redondo Beach, California, is going to discuss with us a film that has a lot of people talking. It's a movie called 50 Shades of Grey. Have you heard about this film? Well, it's a film about a young woman and a young man, and the young man, whose name is Christian Grey, is... Now, is this a movie or is it a book? I think it's a book. It's going to be a movie, maybe. Who knows? No doubt it'll be a movie. It's a book about a young man named Christian Grey who has a relationship with a young woman that has a lot of bondage, domination, and sadomasochism. And the book is a hit with women. I don't think that comes as too much of a shock to some men. Let's talk to Chris Norton about this, because Mr. Norton has worked very, very briefly in the adult film business, is also attempting to start his own production company. You collect adult films, is that correct, Chris? Chris, you there?
Yes, Mr. Ram, right here.
Do you collect adult films?
Yes, I do. I've got probably the largest collection of adult films on the West Coast. I've got, you know, quite a few of those.
Is this a movie that you'd like to make?
I would like to make 50 Shades of Grey. I think it's a very sissy premise, and I think that it's something that, you know, you could, I mean, in the adult film business, you have to get to the action probably a little bit more fast than you would in other ways. So, but more to the point, 50 Shades of Chris, which is going to be rolled out in Redondo Beach over 4th of July weekend. It's going to be a way we can raise money for Obama and his presidential campaign.
And now, what is 50 Shades of Chris? Is that the guy?
Yeah, it's my way of raising money for President Obama, and it's a way also to allow the ladies who have been reading 50 Shades of Grey to sort of play out some of their fantasies. My own personal credentials is that I'm. You know, I'm very good looking. I don't know, you know, I'm not trying to make no big deal out of it, but I am very handsome, and a lot of women find me attractive. I've been in, you know, different scenes in some adult movies, not a lot of them, but I am very attractive, so...
All right, well, you're a handsome guy, and 50 Shades of Chris then is what?
It's going to be on 4th of July weekend, where you can come into one of two tents that we have. And for a $5 donation, you can, based upon the sort of the bondage domination, it's not quite that, you know, stringent of the movie, or the mean of the book, 50 Shades of Grey. We leave the 50 Shades of Chris print, and we call it Buy Chris.
Well, what is that exactly?
Well, I mean, we give a woman a slap on one of her buttocks and leave a we slap hard enough, leave a red handprint.
Okay, so for $5 a woman gets your red handprint on one of her ass cheeks, if you'll pardon the...
Yes, essentially that's right, yeah.
And tell me, why do you think women would be interested in that?
I think it's something you need to understand, Mr. Henry, about 50 Shades of Grey. This is a movie that's kind of come out, or I mean a book that's kind of come out that, you know, women are really, you know, they're very sexually attracted to it. They're you know, very much into having, you know, having their cheek, you know, one of the cheeks rubbed. reddened up when they read this book. And so I felt that it would be good.
No, they're reading. Women are interested in some form of domination. Is that what you're talking about? Or discipline? Is that what it is?
Well, yeah, it is discipline. You can. Can you guys shut up for a minute? Because I'm on the radio. Can you shut up? There's. I'm sorry, Mr. Henry, but I've got some of the people that I work with. I'm just getting out of office right now. Yeah, because the discipline aspect of bondage and domination, which is featured in 50 Shades of Grey, many women find very sexual and are interested in exploring that aspect of the sex and of the sexuality. And a lot of them think it's sort of an excellent way of just discovering them, their sex, their inner sex. And I, as I mentioned, you know, I don't have no ego about it, but I am very handsome and I have slept with a lot of women, so I tend to know a little bit about women. And
Before this book came out, was this something you were aware of?
Well, yeah, I was aware of it, but you're not going to go out and do 50 Shades of Chris, or you're not going to go out and do a handprint by Chris without no reason. You know, this book gave me a good reason for it. And
is it so the promotional event is called Handprint by Chris or 50 Shades of Chris. You will smack a woman's rear end and leave a red handprint for $5.
Yes, sir, that's correct. And I think it's going to be, it's a fun time for the ladies. It is money that we can donate to President Obama if that is something that women are not, you know, politically, if they're not interested in President Obama, we can donate the money to a charity that they, you know, if they want to name a charity, we'll do that. If they want to give the money to President Romney, or not President Romney, but Senator Romney.
Governor Romney.
Governor Romney. They can do that too, but we just want to raise money for President Obama.
Okay, you're raising money for President Obama, but if they don't want it to go to President Obama, it can go to Governor.
Yeah, to the governor, yeah.
To Governor Romney.
To Governor Romney, yeah.
Why do you think that this is not a little too intimate a thing to do?
In what sense do you mean, Mr. Hamilton?
Well, I mean, having a woman, does she have to pull her pants down?
No, not necessarily. She can pull up, if women are wearing shorts, they can pull up one of the shorts, you know, they can just pull it up and just expose one of the cheeks, or, you know, you can expose both cheeks if you want, or if they wanted to. I mean, it's up to them, but we don't want to be invasive. If they want to pull their shorts down, and we'll go ahead and give her a handprint, that's, you know, you can do that too. I think what we're trying to do is take advantage of the, of how much women like the book 50 Shades of Grey and how much they want to have, you know, maybe not have it, but
you're saying that women would like to experience this world of discipline in some way, even if it means just having you smack their rear end and leaving a red handprint. Why is the red handprint important?
Women are very turned on by that. I don't know why exactly, but I think it's because a man just sort of leaves his signature on him. And I think it's something a lot of men don't understand. A lot of men think they get it, but, you know, I do. I mean, I'm not trying to talk about myself, but I just do. I just get women. And a lot of guys think they get it, but they don't. Women...
Well, what don't guys get?
I mean, a lot of guys think that means you own her. They don't want to be owned, but they do want to know that you have your signature. That you've signed, you know, that you've left your hand on the butt, and so if you smack a woman hard enough and leave the redness of your hand, women are turned on by it, and they find it to be a sexual. It's like a sexual signature, okay? It's an excellent sexual signature that they are able to say, it's exciting to see, you know, a big red hand on a cheek, and that's. I don't know, you know, it's just...
Okay, well, it sounds to me like it's probably something that's excited women long before this book came out, but what you're telling me is the book popularized it.
Well, it sort of gave women permission, yeah. It
gave women permission to go out and seek this. All right, so for $5, they can come to this Shades of Chris, 50 Shades of Chris, or Handprint by Chris?
Yeah, it's not really Handprint by Chris. It's like Ass Slap by Chris, or, you know, Ass Hand. By Chris or something like that, you know. Your kid's running around out there. I have to talk to kid's running around out there. Your kid. She's running around down there.
What's going on?
Well, I'm still at work, and we are near a mall, and one of our one of the women that works here, her kid is just running everywhere, and I wanted to, I just wanted to run right up to the kid and just like do a mock kick, like I was going to kick the kid, but everybody got pissed off at me. So.
Okay, that's not very sexy there, Chris.
You're right. I apologize, but
all right, hold the line. 877-876 Phil. Chris Norton on the line with us here. 50 Shades of Grey, the book that the book that describes a very exciting, sexually heated relationship between a man and a woman, and their bondage, domination, sadomasochistic kind of a thing. Chris is doing 50 Shades of Chris. He will smack a woman's rear end really hard and leave his red handprint on one of her buttocks for $5 for Obama or the charity of your choice. 877-876-PHIL, world famous Phil Hendry Show, and we'll be right back.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, Chris Norton with us. Mr. Norton is a telemarketer from Redondo Beach, California, but he's talking with us tonight about a fundraiser he'll be doing in Redondo Beach there on the beach, raising money for the Obama campaign. And this is capitalizing on the popularity of the book 50 Shades of Grey, which is a book that has taken off among women readers. They love it. It's probably going to become a movie. And it's about a relationship between a man and a woman where there's a lot of domination involved. What's the difference, Chris, you know, between domination, sadomasochism? You're talking about spanking a woman on the ass.
Right. I mean, you're not talking about giving no pain or anything.
Well, I mean, is the part of the whole thing about spanking is there's pain?
I believe that, Missouri, I think that in a woman's mind, and you have to know the woman mind, and again, I'm not trying to be egotistical or nothing, but I do know a lot. I've slept with a lot of women, you know,
All right, so you have a lot of sexual experience.
Yes, sir, I mean, I do, and you have to, when you, the woman mind, that mind is able to feel a man, you know, spanking, and it feels good. I mean, I don't know how to describe it. You know,
you're not trying to tell me that they don't feel pain.
No, I'm not trying to say that, but I think there is a sense that the sensuality of it for a woman, and I've been very, you know, kind of surprised myself at times. I've been with, you know, women, a lot of the times older women particularly want to be, you know, be spanked. Because most of their husbands are boring, or I don't know what it is, but I've had a lot of women beg me to leave my handprint. And hold on for a minute. Why don't you guys shut up? Why don't you guys shut up? Okay, I'm on. I've had a lot of men.
But you should move out of wherever it is you are, so that we can. I have this problem all the time, bud.
I know, Mister. I'm sorry. I'm just. Okay, shut up, man. Shut up. I'm on the radio on a Phil Hendry Show. So what I was saying, Mr. Hendry, is a lot of women want that, and they will, a lot of them have literally begged me and have said to me, you know, Mr. Norton, Chris, or Mr. Norton, a lot of them will say.
And what do you mean, Mr. Norton? A woman will call you Mr. Norton during sex?
Yes, sir, they do.
Why?
It's part of the domineering is of it. Where they say, oh, Mr. Norton, this and Mr. Norton, that. I mean, I've had women who are 20 years older than me say, Mr. Norton, can you, you know, or Mr. Norton, you know, I beg you to please leave your handprint. And
So this red handprint thing is absolutely a specific request of women.
Yes, and it is something that I don't think a lot of men are aware of it because of the sex, you know. And,
all right, 877-876-7445, world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Margaret Gray joining us from Santa Monica tonight to get in on some of the questioning. Margaret, go ahead.
Oh, thank you very much, Phil. Hi, Chris. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
Chris, you and I don't know each other, but I did run into you at the Phil Henry Studios one afternoon. You were coming in for, an interview, and I was talking with Phil. I don't think we were introduced, but I did get fairly close to you. Now, you are very handsome, but I will say to you, and I'll say to the women right now, that are listening to this broadcast, that I got a whiff of your body odor, and it was gamey. It smelled of underwear. It smelled as if you hadn't changed your underwear. Do you want to comment to all the women that think you're sexy and who have the sex with you, as you put it? Any comment?
Wow.
Well, first of all, here's my comment. You apparently don't know women too good.
Excuse me, I am a woman.
Well, I mean, what I'm saying is, ma'am, I know what women like, and my scent, I have over the years, I've been very carefully, mixing and mingling it.
Okay. What does that mean, mixing and mingling it?
I didn't hear you because my date for the night. Hey, excuse me, would you shut up? I'll meet you next door. I'll meet you at the Pelican. I'll meet you at Pelican.
You just told a woman to shut up, huh?
Oh, my God.
Yes, I did, and she's going to meet me at the Pelican, and she'll be there, and she'll have her mouth shut. what?
Well, Phil, this is the point. I met this man, and he stunk. You literally did stink. And I wondered if you had any comment to the women that will come out, if any show up, to have your handprint. You know something? Just to call your bluff, I think I'm going to go out there. I think I'll be there, and I'll go ahead and call your bluff. I'll give you your $5, and let's see if you can, I'll put my money where my mouth is. Let's see if you can cut through.
I can assure you, ma'am, that if you want my red handprint on a cheek, that I'll leave it there, and I will...
Will you make it into a welt? Will it be a hand-shaped welt? Do you understand what I mean by welt?
Not really.
When she says a welt, are you talking about him hitting you so hard?
Hitting me so hard that it raises the skin, it swells the skin up.
Yeah, I can do that. You mean a hand-shaped, like, swolled it up?
Yes, hand-shaped, swolled it up. Oh, God, you're stupid, and you smell. And yet I want you to slap me so hard, and I've even picked out which cheek of my ass. Isn't that unbelievable?
Well, it is, sort of.
I mean, I'm sitting here amazed at myself. I really am.
I'm not really surprised, because that's the way a lot of women react to me.
Yeah, but you haven't answered my question. What do you say to women when they show up, if they show up? I may be the only one.
You know what, Miss Gray?
Oh, hold on, I'm not done yet. What do you say to women if they show up and the stink that comes off of you hits their nostrils? What would you say?
As I say, Ms. Gray, I have carefully cultivated the scent of me. And
what does that mean, that you've cultivated it?
Women are attracted to a certain level of BO. It's not, they don't like it, rank. But gamey, I think you use a word, Ms. Gray, they find, the gaminess of it. They will find success. Of it. And
well, I can tell you right now, you stink like an animal. You really do. You stink like an animal. And I wonder, I really do wonder, Phil, how often he changes his underwear.
I've changed my underwear like once in a week, because I do know that women enjoy the game. I don't know how to say it.
You're telling me women like a foul-smelling man?
To a point, yes, sir. Because it smells like the manhood. See, women find it very sassy. They find the sass, and most of the sass and the sexual energy comes from the manhood. And if your manhood can stink to just a halfway point,
Well, I will say that. You smell so horrible that it's as if it's a controlled kind of horror. And I don't know.
I got to ask you something, Margaret, right now.
Be very careful. Have a care, Phil, in what you ask me.
Well, I'm going to have to ask you the question, because you said you're going to go out there,
I do not find him sexy. No, I don't. I'm anticipating your question. How dare you ask me that question?
I guess I didn't.
Good.
All right. Well, can you hang on?
I just think that this...
Yeah, hang on. 877-876-PHIL. We're talking with Chris Norton, who's going to have Handprint by Chris or 50 Shades of Chris. For $5, if you come out there on the 4th of July, he'll smack your rear end with his hand and leave a raised red hand-shaped welt on your ass for $5, ladies. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Be right back.
Phil Hendry.
I'm in love.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
877, excuse me, I didn't mean to come blasting into your ears, folks. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. We're speaking with Chris Norton this hour. Chris is a 28-year-old telemarketer from Redondo Beach, California, but he is raising money for President Obama, or if you don't want to donate to President Obama, he will donate it to Governor Romney. And if either one of those choices is not to your liking, he will simply give the money to the charity of your choice by a $5 donation. And what you pay for is Mr. Norton slapping you on, and I'm speaking of ladies here, slapping you on your rear end. We also have Margaret Gray on the line with us, who is calling in from Santa Monica. And Margaret, you were making the point earlier that you have met Chris. Let's start off with you, Chris, if you don't mind. You say that you're a sexy guy. I have no reason to doubt you. The women are attracted to you and that they will pay money to come and watch you, to come and have you slap their ass. Is that all true?
Mr. Henry, I'm awfully sorry. Would you tell your brat? I mean, I'm sorry, Mr. Henry, but I'm supposed to have cocktails with this this one woman from where I work who had been asked. She asked me for a cocktail. And that's fine, but she has her kid.
Some women have to take care of their children. You know that?
Who am I speaking with?
This is Margaret Gray. Oh, my God. I've never allowed a man to talk to me this way and stayed on the phone with him.
You know, well, that's the thing that I also want to ask you, Margaret. You are going to go out there and pay to have this guy raise a red welt on your ass.
And if you don't mind, I don't like that word. Butt or bottom is fine.
Well, I mean, Miss Gray, this is Chris Norton.
Yes.
I am going to smack your cheek as hard as I can. I mean, you want $5 worth, right?
Every penny.
Well, then I am going to.
What is so funny about that?
Because of the Dirty Harry line that Mr. Henry is always talking about, you know, where the guy says...
That was a scene where a man had his face pulverized. I don't want my butt cheek pulverized, but yes, I want every penny's worth of a $5 swat on the cheek of my rear end.
Now, Margaret, you know, you've just gotten done saying that Mr. Norton, who you have met, smells.
He stinks like you smell like a cat box. He really does.
As I said, Miss Gray, women find that attractive.
Are you telling me what women find attractive? I just want to be clear. Are you telling me what women find attractive?
Is he wrong?
No, he's not wrong, but I don't like him telling me.
I'm just saying that women do enjoy the gaminess of it.
Excuse me, once again, you are butting in.
Well, I'd like to hear his story. So you only change your underwear once a week. How often do you change your shirt? How often do you shower? Just how bad do you smell, man? And at what point... do women finally say to you, you know what, you've gone over the line from gamey or whatever the hell that is to you just stink?
I've never reached that point. I have, as I've said to you, Mr. Henry, I'm not like most guys who just will stink it out because they haven't showered or they don't have any kind of personal hygiene. I'm conscious of the sexual energy of the gay, of how the stank. I mean, you've heard of the term stank. Have you, Mr. Henry?
Yes.
Okay, that's what stank is.
Excuse me, no, stank is not stank. Are you saying that stank is sexual stink?
Yes, I am.
Well, I beg to differ.
Can I, just asking him for a minute, Margaret, we'll get to you in a moment, okay?
I beg to differ, though.
No, I'm telling you that stank is ideally what a sexual man smells like who stinks. You've got the stank. The other thing is that I have developed a dance routine, as I think I had demonstrated on your show once.
Yes, you demonstrated a dance routine one time.
Okay, yeah, I demonstrated a dance routine one time, and I've developed a new song that I want to show you, because what happens is when you develop a stank...
Why don't you just shut up and do the dance?
Excuse me, Margaret, can I run my own show?
Well, I just think he's talking too much.
Can I run my own show? Do you mind? Go ahead, Chris.
I was just going to say, Mr. Henry, when you develop a stink or a stank and you smell like underwear and you you smack a woman on her rear end and you make a big red handprint, you are three-quarters of the way there. The next step, of course, is to develop some kind of sexual moves. Let's say she asks you to go to the icebox and get her one of them cappuccinos from Starbucks or something like that. You can move away from the bed. Let's see if I can do this right. Here. You can move away from the bed. Yeah. And just do a step. You know, just do a country step as you're moving away from the bed. So you only have on a little tiny piece of underwear. A lot of times you just put a slip-on little panty underwear. You know what I mean, Mr. Henry?
No, I don't.
I do. I know. You're talking about the briefs.
Yeah, and as I'm kind of moving away from the bed, and I turn around, I look at her with the red handprint.
You go with me.
And you just kind of do, you know.
If we roll down streets of fire.
What, is this song playing?
Yeah.
Would you hold on to me tighter?
Oh, God.
As the summer sun got
Yeah,
higher.
You like this, huh?
I like Josh Turner, and I like the idea of you in brief underwear, but I hate myself for it.
Go with me.
Okay, can you tell me what's going on here?
What?
What is going on at this point of the song?
Oh, okay, so I'm kind of, what you're doing is you're shaking your butt. Closer, you know.
Until the trip
yeah.
is over.
Yeah. See, this is a really sexy song, and this is a good song to redden her. I hate to say it, but this is a good song to paint the cheek, is what we call it.
And would you take it and make me the head?
Right there, Mr. Henry. Did you hear that line?
Wait, hold on. Turn the music off, bud, before I commit homicide. Turn it off right now. I want to get control over this show.
I apologize, Mr. Renner. I gave him the direction.
Yeah, first of all, I don't want any more guests giving directions on music on this show. Either the guests bring their own music and play it from their home or wherever they're calling us, or they don't get any music. I'm not yelling at you, Chris. I'm talking to my engineer, my on-site engineer. I'm not yelling at you, Dan. I'm yelling at Bud.
Yell at me, Dan.
He knows that.
Well, I mean, Mr. Renner, all he's trying to do is demonstrate to you the what I call cheek painting.
Okay, cheek painting is what? When you smack a woman's rear end?
Oh, my God, a women's rear end. He said when he smacks a woman's rear end and reddens it up real good. Is that right, Chris?
That's right. That's what I'm going to do to your butt.
Oh!
When you come over to my...
Okay, you two can get together later on. Now, number two question. What did you want to say about this song?
This song is... essentially a cheek painting song, because on that one line, I don't know if you heard him, Mr. Henry, he goes, if I gave you my hand, what he's saying is, if I reddened up your bottom cheek, or I mean one of them, you know, understand, Mr. Henry, when we say cheek, I'm not talking about face cheek.
No, I understand that.
God, we sound all irritated for it.
Because I'm trying to get to the point here, man. You guys sound like I'm in the middle of a nut house. You're playing this song, and I don't know what it means.
I was telling you, once you've done the cheek painting...
Yeah, but you're talking about being in bed with a woman. That's not what's going to happen on the 4th of July, is it?
Well, with any luck for some of these sluts, not for me.
No, that's not what's going to happen. I'm going to... I guess I was saying, in terms of cheek painting, you know, butt painting.
Will you talk... What is cheek painting?
When you redden up a woman's ass.
Okay, fine. Just say when you spank her ass. How about that? Is that going to be breaking some law or breaking some rule? Can we just talk about spanking?
Yeah, whatever turns you on, Daddy.
Hey, you give me some of that Daddy, man. I'll knock your freaking teeth down your throat, okay?
I'm sorry. I'm just trying to be funny.
Yo, well, you ain't.
Oh, my God, Phil. That was very It was almost exciting listening to you threaten him.
Okay, I don't mean to threaten you. Would you just go back to the beginning here, okay? So Josh Turner is the song, and you say that this song is about spanking a woman's ass? Is that what you're trying to tell me?
That's exactly what the song's about.
I thought it was about, you know, him taking her...
Yeah, it's him taking her to Ass Bank Land. Here it is.
Oh, God.
So after you have reddened her cheeks... Then you're getting up to go to the bathroom, or she asks you to go to the ice box to get her a yogurt or something because she's now self-conscious about how big her butt is.
Uh-huh.
So now you get up, and you're wearing these little brief bikini bottom pant, you know, underwear, and you already smell like a goat.
Would you go with me?
And you're kind of moving your butt back and forth. So you're doing...
If we roll down streets of fire.
You're kind of doing like a high noon walk. You know what I mean, Mr. Henry? Kind of doing a bull-legged stroll.
As the summer sun got high.
Yeah. We'd roll from town to town.
And never shut
your butt wouldn't be bright. You know, something like that. Okay. Now here it is. Right here.
Go with me.
If I gave you my hand.
No, this is not the part.
Oh, yeah. This is him. This is how you soften a woman up to get her ready.
To have her ass spanked.
Yes.
Until the trip was over.
Oh, God, I'm terribly excited by this, and I'm ashamed of myself.
Of course. Right here. Okay.
Dude. If I gave you my hand and I reddened the cheek of your ass.
Okay.
Yeah, I sent over that song for kind of wanting me to play it.
I don't care if he sent over the song. If I gave you my hand and I reddened your ass.
But that ain't even the song.
I had to tell him that I'm going into a break. I'm not hanging up on them or anything.
Oh, Miss Gray, he's not hanging up on you. No, Miss Gray. Oh, is this Mr. Gray? Are you the guy that dances?
Will you just talk to the guy? What's his name? Norton and Gray. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show. 877-876-7445. 877-876-PHIL. We'll be back with Chris Norton and Margaret Gray and 50 Shades of Chris, or Handprint by Chris, right after this, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Chris Norton is with us here from the 50 Shades of Chris promotion. And women, $5, get to have one of their ass cheeks spanked by Chris. You leave a red handprint, right?
That's correct, Mr. Ring.
And this dance that you were doing to Josh Turner's Would You Go With Me, what's that about?
Probably helpful tip I can give men to be more sexual in terms of if you're going to redden your wife's, excuse me for using the language, but if you want to redden up your wife's ass, then you've got to kind of get into a groove. I have cultivated, as I told you, I cultivated stank. And
yeah, well, this is a whole thing that I don't get. Well, you're talking about you smell. And
yes, sir, I do.
Phil, believe me, I've been near this man, and you stink like an open grave. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes, I do, ma'am.
And yet that doesn't offend him.
Well, you said that you almost find it exciting.
I find the idea that he won't bathe for a woman. In other words, women are bored by men that get all primped up for them. But it's exciting for a woman to think that a man will come to her house to take her... This is going to sound crazy, Phil... There is something terribly exciting about a man coming to your house, stinking like a cat box, who takes you to McDonald's for dinner, gives you about 5 minutes to eat it, and then drags you into the bedroom. It's the most insulting and degrading way to be treated, and yet it is thrilling.
That's what I'm talking about.
I mean, I don't endorse it at all. It's degrading to find it exciting, but it is.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. Let's go over here to Jason. Jason, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, buddy.
You're on the air.
Yeah, I just wanted to know if this guy and this girl was for real. I've been married.
That's a good question. Are you for real?
I'm for real. I don't know what the guy is. Well, how do you mean for real, sir?
Well, I have never. I'm 37 years old, and I've never met a woman that liked to smell my ass or, you know, anything
else. You know what you're doing. I mean, you got to know how to cultivate the raw stank. You know, that's all I'm trying to say.
I think you're all wrong on sexuality. Your mind.
You don't know about you don't think women enjoy. If I'm not saying you stink like butt smell. I don't mean that. I mean more like crotch smell.
Okay, you know what? I think we've gotten about as graphic as we can get.
I'm going to tell you what. I work hard about 16 to 15 hours a day, and when I come home, yeah, my wife likes the smell of a little bit of body odor, but she ain't talking about...
Oh, God, it's thrilling. Oh, my God, that is thrilling.
But that's the smell of hard day's work. I'm not talking about 4 or 5 days not changing my underwear like you are. That's disgusting, dude. And you're giving men out there a bad name talking all the crap you're talking like that.
What are you talking? I mean, all I'm trying to say is that women like the smell of a man. Would you disagree that women like the smell of a man? Women do want to smell a man, right?
Yeah, they women do. Does want to smell a man, yeah, but they also appreciate the smell of a man coming out of the shower with a good cologne on. And
how about that?
Well, I mean, yeah, but any guy can go in the shower and put on the perfume water and all that. I'm talking about the raw stank.
You know, you're talking about not changing your drawers for 4 or 5 days, buddy.
Yes, sir. If you keep your underwear on for a good 4 day stretch, no longer, it's going to have the same. It'll have a ripeness to it. Yeah.
Margaret, you're a woman. What about it?
I agree with the man, this gentleman, Jason. He's absolutely right. I think there is such a thing as a gamey scent that a man has after he's been out working. But do I want the man to press my face into the crack of his rear end? I'm sorry to have to put it that way. No, I do not.
I'm not trying to press no.
But that's what it feels like when you're doing that. Now, do I want a man to slap my ass as hard as he can, even to the point where it draws blood? Maybe. Maybe I do. But that's between me and the animal that I have so hired for the evening.
Well, what about you, sir? That's what I'm trying to say.
No, you aren't trying to say anything like that. Both of these people have disagreed with you, Chris. When you say that you...
That man agrees with me. He said that...
He said that a woman doesn't mind the smell of a hard day's work, but she doesn't, you know, not the underwear thing.
Work, not 4 days of hard work, or 4 days of sitting on your ass playing video games. Yeah.
See, that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. That's the part you're missing out on.
There's a difference between a hard day's work smell and swamp ass for 4 or 5 days. Yeah.
But I mean, if you do, like, for instance, my girlfriend had a girlfriend last year, and that's pretty much what I did do. I mean, I sat and I played video games because she didn't want me to do nothing else, okay? So I would probably get about 3 days of smell in the underwear, and I swear to God, it was on, you know, when she got home.
Oh, come on, man. Who's buying that?
Yeah, there ain't nobody out here on the road buying that, buddy. You're out of your mind.
Get out of here. I mean...
She didn't want you to work. She wanted you to stay home and play video games, and you get a good 3 day stink going in that underwear, and she thought it was just game on, huh?
Yeah, I mean, you guys may not believe me, but...
Did she have a sense of smell, or was it knocked out by some childhood accident?
That's real funny, you know? I mean, here's the whole thing, what I'm trying to say. Okay, fine, you know, but... with all due respect to the man, I mean, how do I know, sir, that when I open my booth up on Saturday at the 4th of July festivities and I'm putting handprints on a chick on a buttock, that one of the ladies there isn't your wife? And
don't get personal, okay?
Nah, you're getting crazy there. You're talking to me all wrong.
I ain't trying to disrespect you. I'm saying just for the money for Obama.
Oh, yeah, no, you're disrespecting him, all right.
Yeah, you're right about that.
Yeah, you're going to get a guy beating your ass. All right, thank you very much, Jason, and safe travels to you, sir. Safe travels. Thanks a lot. 877-876-PHIL. That guy was very polite with you. He could have...
Could have what? I mean, what is he going to do?
That man wanted to beat you up because you were talking about putting a big red handprint on his wife's cheek. On the cheek of the... Frank, hold on for a minute, Phil. Let's get Frank.
Oh.
Think about me going to Redondo Beach on the 4th of July and having Chris Norton spank my ass so hard that a big, bright red handprint appears.
Will the flesh be raised up?
Yes, it'll be swollen.
Yes, sir. I'm totally in favor of it. As long as she doesn't draw any blood. Who are you talking about, she?
He has gender confusion. As long as he doesn't really get blood?
Yeah, as long as if she doesn't slap his ass so hard that... Is Henry there? Where's Henry?
I'm right here, Frank.
How you doing, young man?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm better than Custer. Look, if she's giving out red handprints... Talk about she. My name's Chris Norton, okay? I don't give a damn if you're George Washington. If you put a hand on his ass and you create a bloody mess... Then she, meaning my son, and...
Get out of here, will you, all of you?
Oh, Phil, this started out so well.
Shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse, come on down.
Well, all of you to come down here to Ted's of Beverly Hills tonight. I'm on the Phil Hendry Show, of course, and we're going to be talking about something that we feel is very, very important, and we would like to hear from people.
Ted's, we want to put our meat in your mouth.
And, you know, that is the commercial for the show. That's the commercial for your restaurant, Ted, that we're going to be talking about tonight. And, of course, you're going to want to use that to promote the restaurant. But
I thought that tonight, because we're going to be talking about... We're going to be talking about my business, is what we're going to be talking about. And when it comes to my business, and I think you're the same way, Phil, and... You can put that on table three. And look, I'm going to move out of the... I'm standing right here near the kitchen.
You're at the restaurant now.
Yes, I am. When you talk about my business, I think, Phil, when you talk about anybody's business, I think what you're doing is you are getting into an area that is very, very sensitive, and I think you need to know what it is you're talking about. And I think you've got to tread very, very lightly. When you talk about a man's business, it's like you're talking about his family. And when you presume to give a man advice about his business, then I think you're in the middle of something that you shouldn't be in the middle of. And that's where we find ourselves today. And I don't know if you still have that list.
We're talking to Ted Bell here, folks. And I'm sorry that we got out in front of this thing a little bit too fast. I have a list of... there were three. These are all men who head up different congregations in Southern California. Tyler Cushing of La Mirada Assembly, William Runton of First Christian in Monrovia, the Bible Study Center in Diamond Bar.
Are these all the only individuals that have been complaining about this?
There are them, and there have been people that have been calling. And so that's why I said when I talked to you earlier, I said, well, look, why don't we go on the air and talk about this? And you can air your grievances.
Well, I don't have the grievances, Phil. The problem is these people have grievances. That's the problem. And the problem is that these are people that are looking to tell me what to do with a business that I worked very, very hard on. Now, I've been on your program many times. As you know, I sponsor a full hour of the Phil Hendry Show. And I think that the listeners out there can appreciate that. And I'm not about to change the way I do business because, you know, these guys And, you know, other people who may or may not come to my restaurant, I don't want to be disrespectful.
Let me ask you a question. Are you a religious man yourself?
I don't think I need to answer that question.
Well, all right. I mean, were you raised Christian?
I don't think I need to answer that question. I think when you ask that question, you're trying to qualify me. And
no, I just thought I'd see what kind of commonality there might be. You know.
Well, what about you? Were you raised Christian?
I was raised Catholic.
All right. Do you still go to? I think you said you still go to Catholic mass occasionally.
Occasionally, yeah. I wouldn't call myself an overly religious guy, but I suppose I try to keep a sense of God in my life as much as I can.
All right. So in other words, Phil, and I don't mean any disrespect, but what you just gave me there is the typical media personality sort of get lost answer.
No, it's not get lost.
Well, yeah, it is, because, I try to keep God in my life. You don't want me to ask any questions, but you want to ask me.
Well, look, Ted, it's your restaurant that we're talking about. And let me get everybody squared away on what we're talking about. We've had, over the course of time, on this radio show, since Ted has been a sponsor, and since he's been coming on and sponsoring this hour, we have had, from time to time, people who have been outspokenly critical of Ted's commercial jingle, and more to the point, the commercial slogan that he uses for his restaurant, which is, "We want to put our meat in your mouth." Now, you understand, Ted, as we've talked many times, that people perceive that to be obscene or not family-friendly?
No, I absolutely understand that, yes.
And you have said time and again that it's not.
It is absolutely not. It is a advertising slogan that we went out and we contracted with an advertising agency in New York, and we wanted to come up with a slogan for our restaurant that was as direct as something, for instance, McDonald's used for many, many years, which is, "Come to the Golden Arches, you never had it so good." Or if you used the Burger King slogan for many years, "Have it your way." Those two slogans really spelled it out for the customer. Have it your way. You come to Burger King, you have the hamburger the way you want it. You never had it so good if you come to McDonald's, and if you come to Ted's of Beverly Hills, we want to put our meat in your mouth. And what we're talking about is the best steak that you're ever going to eat in your life. Now, for me to fold under pressure from individuals who immediately want to read something filthy into that.
Do you understand how it can be seen that way?
I understand it will be seen that way by people who think that way.
And all right, Ted, let me interrupt. Do you understand that the people who have come in contact with us criticizing that, some of them are these men that I mentioned. These are ministers, preachers.
No, I understand that, and I don't want to be disrespectful, but if I have to be, I'm going to be, and I'm going to repeat what I just said. It is seen as obscene by people that think in obscene ways.
So you were saying that Dr. Cushing, Dr. Runton, Dr. Pethering.
By the way, excuse me, what are they doctors of?
These are men who are doctors of theology.
All right, and what was your question?
Are you saying that those men think in obscene ways?
Absolutely. Yes, I am.
And that those men, when they hear that, can only think of one thing?
That's exactly what I'm saying, yes. See, Phil, and I want to appeal to your listeners. The best way that I know how is to just say this directly. This is my business. I worked very hard to get this business to where it is today. And if I want to put a slogan on a billboard that says we want to put our meat in your mouth, and it's going to be seen by customers all over Southern California and all over the Bay Area and all over Washington, D.C., wherever we have a Ted's of Beverly Hills. Right now, we've got a Ted's of Beverly Hills in the East Bay, San Francisco, Washington, D.C., Miami, and here in Southern California. And we had the restaurant in Hawaii, and we're retooling the restaurant in Honolulu, but we've got those four. And I'm telling you, and I'm telling your audience, that advertising slogan is going to be seen on billboards wherever we have a restaurant. It'll be heard on radio commercials. and I'm not changing anything. So I still don't understand what it is we're talking about.
We've had people who want you to explain why that slogan.
Because we paid for it, because an advertising agency came up with it, because I like it, because it advertises the restaurant very well.
Okay, so when this is just Ted, I'm a friend of yours, okay?
No, I understand it.
When someone says to me, as Dr. Cushing did, that it came to his attention when he was driving down the 605 and he saw a billboard, Ted's of Beverly Hills, we want to put our meat in your mouth, and he's driving with two of his kids.
No, I understand.
All right, you understand then with someone driving with their kids.
Well, if that man was driving with his kids, then he should have said to those kids, "Oh, kids, that doesn't mean anything." If the children reacted to it in a dirty way, I don't know what happened in the car. You know, did the kids go, "Ooh, Daddy, that's dirty," or did he, or what happened? But he could say to them, "No, that's about a restaurant that serves steak." You know.
Well, he said that he came home and put the phone call in to us. And
no, but what I'm asking you is this: when he saw the billboard, did his children react to it?
I don't know.
Uh-huh. Yeah, you don't know. Now let me I'll give you the answer, and I wasn't even in the car. No, they didn't.
Well, come on, Ted, you know as well as I do the kids are going to react to things.
No, I understand that they will, but they're not going to react to that. Why would they react to that?
Why would they react to that? We live in a day and age, Ted, of South Park, of The Simpsons, double entendre.
That is not double entendre. And that's what I resent more than anything else. It's not double entendre. I mean it exactly as I say it. We got great steak. We want to put it in your mouth. Where do you eat your food? In your mouth. Where do you chew it? With your teeth. I'm not going to be bullied, Phil, by your religious friends or whoever they are.
They're not friends of mine. These are people who just called the show.
Yeah, well, all right. Well, I mean, I'm not going to be bullied by people because they have filth between their ears. And they want to, you know, affect my business. I find this to be very, very... I think this is very evil, if you want my honest opinion, because here I am with a business that I've spent a lot of hours building up, and down the 605 drives some guy with a turned-around collar, and he sees this billboard, and he immediately goes home and makes a call to you, and now he's going to get himself... he's going to become an advocate for some kind of family-oriented thing. I don't like it. You can hear my throat.
Do you have a cold?
I'm suffering with a cold, yeah.
All right, you want to take a break?
I would appreciate that, yeah.
All right, Ted Bell is with us here on the Phil Hendry Show. We're talking about the slogan to his restaurant, which is Ted's of Beverly Hills. He's been an advertiser of ours for a long time. Can we play that again, bud? Just listen to this.
Ted's of Beverly Hills.
Well, you know what? In any event... we're going to be playing this coming out of the stop set, but the slogan here at the end of this commercial has got the attention of a number of people in the religious community. They want to change. Ted says he won't.
Here at Ted's, we want to put our meat in your mouth.
There it is. All right, we'll be back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. The Phil Hendry Show will be right back, and PhilHendryShow.com.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. Listening to the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse, come on down.
And this portion of the Phil Hendry Show brought to you by Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse. And we are very proud of our business, and we hope you bring your family in and enjoy a great meal at Ted's.
Here at Ted's.
Sing it.
And
that's what we mean, Phil.
All right. Joining us is Ted Bell. He is the owner of Ted's of Beverly Hills, a very, very well-known steakhouse here in Southern California and in Northern California in Washington, D.C. They have a Ted's of Beverly Hills, actually, in Georgetown or the Capitol Hill District?
That's the Capitol, yeah, what they call the Capital City District.
Okay. And then South Beach.
South Beach, Miami, and we have, we're retooling and we are reopening our Ted's of Beverly Hills Honolulu early 2013.
Ted's of Beverly Hills Honolulu. I don't know, man. I want to go to that one.
Oh, you're gonna love it. You're gonna love it. And
where are you?
We're Waikiki, right near Waikiki, right near the Royal Hawaiian. And I'll tell you something, Bill.
I just love the idea of a Ted's of Beverly Hills in Honolulu. You know.
Well, we wanted to call it. Somebody wanted to go to Ted's of Beverly Hills, Hawaii. No, no. No, I like the very classic sound of Honolulu. And let's face it, at one time and still, I think Honolulu was not just the capital of Hawaii and certainly a tourist destination. It was in its own way an entertainment capital. And so we want to bring a little bit of that back to Honolulu.
All right. Well, what we're talking about here, folks, if you're just joining us, Ted has an advertising slogan that you just heard. We want to put our meat in your mouth, and we've gotten complaints over the years that we have very, very much, very strenuously defended you, Ted. What happened was, though, we got Pastor Cushing and a few of these members of the religious community here in Los Angeles, as well as elsewhere within the sound of our radio show, within reach of our radio show. And the fact that you have, like so many businesses, I think In-N-Out has a truck that goes out, right?
Yeah, well, we've got, we take out the Ted Lunch, which we call the Ted Lunch Wagon, and we want to put our meat in your mouth emblazoned on the side. That is the slogan, and I don't know a company that's involved in the food delivery or restaurant business that doesn't go out when they are taking one of their promotional vehicles out, whether it's Murray Lender with his bagels, and I know Murray, and he's a wonderful guy. But you've got the name of his business right there on the side, and we do as well. The fact that we're going to Wanton High School, which I understand is a private Christian high school, but we were invited there by the senior class, and we're going to serve lunch to some 120 senior students. And I don't know that the so-called administration there has the right to keep my business from doing business.
If you're a parent, and I know you are a parent, that's not a very difficult thing to figure out. The school is ultimately in charge of who or what comes on their campus.
Well, I don't know what you mean by what, but...
Well, you know what I mean. They're...
I understand that they are there to protect the kids, absolutely.
Of course, they're not only there to protect the kids, they are the surrogate parents. While the kids are there, they are there to see that the children are safe. They're there to make sure that the kids are educated.
I understand it, Phil. And what you're getting at, if I may, you're getting at the what you think is me coming on campus with our lunch truck, and with the slogan "We want to put our meat in your mouth." You're saying that I'm somehow violating the safety of those kids. And
well, no, not the safety. No.
Well, then what are we doing wrong?
You're going onto the campus with a advertising slogan that perhaps the teachers, the administration, and the parents would rather you not have on that truck.
Well, they're not telling me what to do.
Now, I understand that. But they can certainly tell you whether you can come on that campus or not.
I don't think so.
Why would you say that, Ted? The
senior class invited me. And
the senior class invited you. These are all underage kids.
Well, they are the senior class. They invited us. They want us there for, I think they're having a senior class lunch that will be ahead of a weekend that's going to have a basketball weekend, that they're going to have a formal. And we're going to serve lunch. And
why would you go onto that campus even if you're told not to?
Who am I told not to by?
If you're told not to by the administration there.
If we're told not to by the administration. Then I would ask them why, and they would say, "Because we want to put your meat in our mouth." Is that it?
Well, I don't. That's what they're saying. Yeah.
Yeah, I know that's what they're saying. Are they going to say that to me? Are they going to have the guts to say to me, "We don't want you on our campus because the advertising slogan on the side of your truck says we want to put our meat in your mouth"? Are they going to say that to me?
I think what they're going to say to you is the following: it's not a family-friendly slogan.
Okay, right there is a lawsuit, right there. I'm glad you said that. And I was waiting for you to say it because I wasn't going to say it. But right there is a lawsuit. And the lawsuit is the following thing. It is them saying that my business is not family-friendly, which is an absolute insult, which is it's beyond an insult. It is a slander, and if they publish that on the air, if I hear any one of them come on your radio show and say that, then it's libel.
Ted, I'm telling you what they said to me.
Right, and I wanted you to tell me that because I, you know, I understand they got an opinion, but the minute they say that themselves, and I want them to say that, I want to see if they got the guts to say that I don't run a family-friendly business.
Do you understand? Can I ask you a question?
Well, you're gonna ask me the same question you've been asking me, Phil.
No. I'm just going to... maybe I didn't ask it clear enough. Do you understand the concern of some people when they say... Because I've said it to you over the years. I've said to you, gee, what's with that slogan? Have you ever gotten any trouble for it?
Oh, I know you have, and I have cleared it up time and again with you. And so you're going to ask me, do I understand parents and teachers having a problem with, we want to put our meat in your mouth? Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Do I understand them having a problem with it? If they have a sewer in place of a mind. Yes, I understand that.
All right, so anyone that says to you, whether they're a parent or whether they're a religious leader, your slogan is not family friendly. They have, instead of a mind, a sewer.
Yes, that's exactly what I'm saying. You see, Phil, what I'm not going to do is I'm not going to back down. And this has got nothing to do with religion. They could be anybody. I'm not backing down in the face of hypocrites, bigots, people with prejudice, and people that would rather think filthy thoughts than let a man run his business. I'm not backing down. Ted Bell.
Okay, great. We'll be right back here. So there's Ted Bell. The slogan, we want to put our meat in your mouth, has now become a controversy at least a couple of the schools where they want to send their lunch wagon. Is it family-friendly? We want to put our meat in your mouth is the name of this, is the slogan that a New York advertising agency came up with for Ted's of Beverly Hills. Our number, 877-876-PHIL. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
Never.
Famous Bill Hendry Show.
Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse. Come on down.
Ted from Ted's of Beverly Hills, and we are very, very anxious to have you in our restaurant. We don't want anybody to be uncomfortable in our restaurant. We like to say we want to put our meat in your mouth because we mean our steak. We don't mean anything.
All right, hold on.
But we don't mean anything other than that.
All right, hold on. Ted, you have a couple of advertisements. We're talking with Ted Bell about the about his restaurant's advertising slogan, we want to put our meat in your mouth, which is come under attack. It's on billboards in Southern California and elsewhere where Ted's restaurants are.
I had a phone call from somebody in Virginia Falls, Virginia, who had been in Washington, D.C. and had seen our restaurant. And I said, it's nice to meet you, and you know, I thought it was a courtesy call, and this was an individual who had gone to the capital city and said, well, he saw the billboard, we want to put our meat in your mouth, and he said he considered it to be an affront. And I said to him, sir, let me ask you a question. This guy was a businessman from Virginia Falls, and he said, go ahead. I said, what is the Girl Scout slogan? I said, the Girl Scouts are you familiar with the Girl Scout the cookie that they sell, or I don't know how they, you know, how often they do that, Phil?
Yeah, Girl Scout cookies.
Right, Girl Scout cookies, and they do that every what?
I don't know. I think it's in the winter. It might be in the wintertime.
All right, and I said to the gentleman, are you familiar with the Girl Scout? And he said, of course I am. I said, okay, everybody is. I said, do you know what their slogan is? And he said, no. I said, it's do a good turn daily. I said, you know, for me, I don't care. But they have been allowed to get away with that for years. And he sort of stopped, and he said, well, are you referring to, and we talked about it. I said, yes. He said, well, I can understand that. He said, but that is a little more subtle than we want to put our meat in your mouth. I said, well, you know what, then you're just prejudiced against a businessman and your prejudice in favor of a bunch of little girls. And I said, and quite frankly, I find that very suspicious. And I hung the phone up on him because he wanted to give these kids the benefit of the doubt on Do a Good Turn. And
all right, well, you're losing me because I don't know what's wrong with Do a Good Turn Daily.
I don't know what to say to you.
Well, you're going to have to say something because I think my audience is lost and I am too.
Well, if your audience is lost, you are, then let me say this. What do you do every day? Nature's calling.
Okay, I know what you mean. I mean...
Yeah, a turn.
Oh, come on, Ted.
No, I'm not. Come on, Ted. I'm telling you that the Girl Scout slogan can be interpreted to say, sit down and take a crap once a day.
And do you honestly believe that that's what they...
No, excuse me. I didn't come on your program to get yelled at. All right.
I'm sorry, Ted, but do you honestly believe that that's what the Girl Scouts of America...
I don't know, but that's what can be interpreted. And that's what I tried to say to this gentleman. And he said, well, I don't see that. And I said, but yeah, that's because I think you sticking up for Girl Scouts is very, I think that is it. Somebody ought to look into that is what I said to him. And I hung the phone up.
So in other words, this man, I just want to be clear on what happened on the phone conversation.
All right.
The man called up and said that I don't like your we want to put our meat in your mouth slogan. And you said, well, what about the Girl Scouts Do a Good Turn Daily, which you think means a bowel movement, I guess.
Yes.
And the man said that he didn't see it and he stuck up for the Girl Scouts. And you took that to mean he's a pedophile.
I said I was very suspicious and I hung up on him. Yeah. Now, Phil, you know, there are countless examples of this. The Skittles example, which is Taste the Rainbow. Some people...
What is it again?
It's Taste the Rainbow.
Okay.
Some people are extremely uncomfortable with that. I am. I'm very uncomfortable with it because I believe it has adult overtones.
What adult overtone?
Again, you are forcing me into articulating these things that I personally don't want to articulate because I don't necessarily think there is anything wrong. I don't think there's anything wrong with Do a Good Turn Daily. I just told this man that's what you could interpret that to mean.
I just don't see the Girl Scouts.
Well, hold the phone here, Phil. I've got a slogan that says we want to put our meat in your mouth. I don't mean anything dirty by that. I mean we want you to taste our steak. The Girl Scouts have a slogan, Do a Good Turn Daily. I don't think there's anything dirty about it, but there's some animal out there that's going to take that to mean, oh, the Girl Scouts are reminding you to sit on the toilet once a day.
Well, if there is somebody out there that is taking that meaning from that...
You would think that they're sick, right?
I would.
Okay, why don't you give me the benefit of the doubt and say, if somebody takes my slogan, which is we want to put our meat in your mouth, and they take that to mean something dirty... that you think they're sick. You want to know why, Phil? Because you want to see a businessman like me run into the ground until there's nothing left. And
no, that is not. That is absolute and utter horse dung.
Well, then why don't you stick up for me instead of sticking up for all of your Obama friends? And
whoa, hold on for a minute, man. If this is all of a sudden a political thing...
Absolutely a political thing. You better believe it. A man just won the election in Florida tonight. A guy that's going to, I think, bring this country back, Mitt Romney. I don't think Mitt Romney has... He's a Mormon, isn't he?
Yeah.
Okay. Even though he's a Mormon, I don't think he would ever say to me, I don't like your, you know, the meat in your mouth slogan. I don't know what he would say about whether, you know, he would eat at my restaurant, but I don't think he'd ever take my right away from me to do that. And the same thing goes with Skittles.
And this whole Skittles thing is very strange with you saying that it is a...
What is strange about it?
Well, you say that, come taste the rainbow, is that it?
That is exactly right.
And you think that's what?
I think it's extremely adult.
All right, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. I'm going to go over here to Ronnie in San Antonio. Ronnie, go ahead.
Hey, Phil, how are you doing?
Good.
Listen, I want to ask this gentleman, your name is Ted, right?
Ted Bell, yes, sir.
All right, well, I don't know your restaurant. I haven't eaten at your restaurant. I don't probably plan on eating at your restaurant because we don't have, I don't know if you've got a Ted's of Beverly Hills in San Antonio or not, but we do not. All right, well, if I was driving down the road and I saw a billboard that said we want to put our meat in your mouth, and I had my wife, and I've got two little girls in my family, and I saw that on the billboard, it would upset me. And I would definitely want to do something about getting that taken down. It doesn't mean what you think it means. Well, it doesn't matter if it doesn't mean what I think it means. It means, I think, in the mind of everyone, what it means. And I would have to explain that to not only my wife, I'd have to explain it to my daughters.
Wait, would you, you would...
I want to find out. You would explain this to, how old are your daughters? Well, my daughters are 4 and 5. I'm not telling you that. You would explain that to your... You tell your daughters what you thought it meant. I'm not saying that I would in a graphic way.
Well, wait, sir. Can I ask you something? This is Phil.
Yeah.
You got a 4 and 5 year old daughters.
Yes, I do.
Then why would you even begin to explain to them what you think that means?
Because someone's going to have to do that. This man has decided that he wants to expose my family to that. I didn't expose your family to anything. There's a billboard there, and you're going to explain this to your 4 and 5 year olds? I'm going to be discussing it with my wife. Why would you discuss it with your wife? Because we're in the car together. We're in the car. We're talking about it. And my daughters are naturally going to say, what are you talking about? And if I tell them that it's adult stuff, then we've got an argument. And that's an argument I'm not going to win, because now I'm driving a car and I got 3 women who are in my ear and screaming their obscenities.
Wait, sir.
Well, I got it, Phil. Let me grab it, Phil, okay? I got it. All right, relax.
No, don't tell me you got it.
I got it. Are you trying to tell me that your daughters of ages 4 and 5 and your wife will gang up on you because you told your daughters it's none of their business? I don't know if you know anything about... the way things are these days. But women... Even children, little girls, you can't just tell them it's none of your business. They're going to want to know why.
I got to ask a question. Why can't you tell a 4 and a 5 year old? Why do you even have to tell? Just say it's none of your business. Daddy and mommy are talking. Don't even talk about it.
Well, you're telling me not to talk. I have to talk about it. Why? Because Mr. Bell here put the billboard out on the road. And I'm looking at, we want to put our meat in your mouth, and naturally I'm going to say to my wife and my daughters, did you see that? About putting this meat in your mouth, I got to explain it to you now.
You're going to talk about this to your 4 and 5 year olds, even though they haven't asked.
What do you mean they haven't asked? I have to assume, let me ask you, sir, this is Ted Bell, can they read? Can who? Can what? Who can read? Can your daughters read? No, they're too young. Well, then how do you know they know what that says? Because I'm going to tell them.
Why would you tell them if they can't read?
I don't appreciate you yelling, sir. I called your program. I was being direct, but I wasn't yelling. This is Ted Bell. Why would you tell these girls what it says if they can't read? Who's this? It's Ted Bell. Well, who's the other one?
This is Phil Hendry, sir. I'm sorry that I yelled. Why would you tell your 4 and 5 year olds what it says?
Because they're going to ask me!
All right, pal, I got to hang up on you.
Oh, yeah, you'll hang up on me!
Wow, man. Wow.
Well, it's your radio show, Phil. Let the record show, I did not put that guy on the air, you did.
Well, that guy is just wound too tight. That's his problem. He ain't even in this world, he's got bigger problems than whether his 4 and 5 year olds can read billboards.
I agree.
Our number is 877-876-PHIL here on the world famous Phil. Wow.
You talk about rap too tight.
Anyway, we'll be right back here. We'll be right back here in the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. 877-876-7445. Ted Bell's Billboard. We want to put our meat in your mouth. Is it too adult, or is it just that we've got filthy minds and we're reading things into it? We'll be back. Phil Hendry
Truth
Show.
Is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Okay, is this Ron? Ronnie?
Yes, sir, Mr. Hendry. I'm awfully sorry that I lost my temper, but I think Mr. Bell was not being fair. Ronnie, I did not mean to gang up on you the way you said your wife and your daughter did, but if your kids can't read, and this is all I'm trying to figure out, if your kids can't read... If my kids can't read, Mr. Bell, which they cannot read, then I have to explain to them what's on the sign.
Why do you have to do that?
Who am I speaking with?
This is Phil Hendry, the host.
Okay, sir, the reason why I'm saying that is because I'm looking at Mr. Bell's sign, and it says, I want to put my meat in your mouth. No, it doesn't. It says, we. All right? And my duty to my wife and to my children is to say to them, that billboard is filth, and it says, we want to put our meat in your mouth. And am I not supposed to say to my wife and to my daughters, he most likely intends you?
Oh, my God.
Why would you do that, sir? I don't understand. Because you're the one that put me in that position, sir.
All right, I want to talk to a gentleman who actually had a comment for you, Ron. His name is David. David's on the line here. Go ahead, David. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Ted Bell and Ron in San Antonio.
Hey, Phil. Thank you for taking my call. Hey, Ted. How you doing? Hey,
I'm doing good. Thank you.
Thank you. My comment to you, man, you're supposed to be the man of the house there. Why are you so worried about three women or two little girls and your wife ganging up on you? I mean, why is that such a problem for you? You know, when you're supposed to be the man and explain...
How do you explain that, then? Well, can you tell me how I'm supposed to explain that? How am I supposed to explain that?
Explain what? We want to put our meat in your mouth.
The sign says... The billboard says we want to put our meat... The billboard says we want to put our meat in your mouth, and I'm supposed to explain that to two little girls?
Well, first of all, 4 and 5, I think, is a little bit too young for them to even fathom what it might mean. But if they were,
that's
if
my
they
point.
Were to read it, if they were to read it, and they were to ask, you tell them just like what Ted said. It's a restaurant that serves steak, and they want you to experience by putting the meat in the mouth.
They know I'm going to be... They know I'll be lying. My wife is going to be there.
Why would a little 4-year-old know that
you're... They're 4 and 5 years old. They don't even know what lying is yet. How do they know you're going to be lying? Your wife is going to
you off. If I may say, I'll tell you why. Because my wife is sitting there. My wife is a woman. She'll see that. The kids will see that she's reacting negatively.
What is it with... I want to ask you something, Ron. You and your wife don't seem to have a very good, what we would call in the world, poker face, you know, where you just kind of keep the face blank until you get home, and then you can talk about it like adults.
I don't know what you mean. Do you have children, Mr. Hendry?
I did. I mean, they're all grown up.
Well, did you ever see, and what did you say to them?
I explained to them the best way I could. I said, hey, kids, you know, this is, that's really kind of bad, or that's really, this is what's intended. The kids would ask. If they didn't ask, I would not bring it up.
Well, you must have had some stupid kids.
Oh, okay, sir. Well.
Well, listen, you're attacking a man's kid's intelligence? Do you have kids? I have one, yes. And what do you say to them? I said, I have one. And what do you say to them? Wow, this guy...
He's got one kid.
What do you say to them?
One kid, not them. All right, listen, thanks very much, Ronnie.
Well, you know, I know they don't have the guts.
And thank you very, very much, David, for your contribution to that falderall. I appreciate it. 877-876-PHIL. Here is, I believe this is David. Or no, this is John. John, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Ted Bell.
Oh, yes, sir. How you doing? Thank you.
I think that guy's mentally disturbed.
Can I say something?
No, I just
want
to
know. Hello, is this Mr. Ted Bell?
Was mentally disturbed.
Is this Ted Bell?
Hey, don't interrupt me.
Is this Ted Bell?
Hey, Ted. Ted.
I just was saying the last guy was mentally disturbed.
Okay.
You mentally disturbed.
Go ahead, John.
You mentally disturbed for coming over there. You actually paid for that advertisement.
Yeah, and you know what? It works. It brings them in by the drone.
It wouldn't work.
Brings them in by the thousand.
It wouldn't work for me. I would keep going if I even seen that billboard. If they think about this,
why not?
You would have better customers. You'd have a better business. And just think how many people you're turning away.
I'm not. How many people do you think I'm turning away, sir? I do a very good business.
You turning away?
Are you? Why would you keep going?
You would do better because I don't want you putting your meat in your mouth. Come on, that's ignorant advertising.
You don't want to put your meat in your mouth.
You acting like a moron.
You sound like a jackass.
Uh-huh.
I don't think you even know what a good steak is.
Uh-huh.
You know what you think a good steak is? Sizzler.
Uh-huh.
Why don't you go back to Sizzler and have yourself a steak?
Uh-huh. It would be better than yours.
Okay, well, this was a pointless call. But anyway, thanks for calling, sir. You did not very well. 877-876-PHIL. It's World Famous Phil Hendry Show.
Why don't you do better screening on your phone calls?
What are you talking about? The guy wanted to talk to you.
Yeah, he sounded like, Is that one of these characters that you do, or is that...
877, no it isn't. 877-876-PHIL. We'll move on here to David. David, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. Mr. Phil, I'm going to be very respectful, and I'm going to make it short, because that remark to me, having grown-up kids and who like to... question you and try to understand stuff like that, that is just very sexual, straight up.
No, it is. No, it is. Only to people with a filthy mind. Only
no,
if you have a filthy mind.
No, sir.
Yes.
No,
yes.
With what's going on in this world nowadays and in our society, I come from a background where stuff like that is just not said at all.
I'm sorry if
you don't find it that way, sir. I apologize.
Well, all I'm trying to say is the following thing. If you see that on a billboard and your kid asks you, what does that mean, what are you going to say?
No, I mean, a billboard like that would have description. Maybe it'll show you a steak or so. So that doesn't, but if it's just written,
this is your billboard,
your
right, Ted?
Yeah, it's my billboard, and all it says is, Ted's of Beverly Hills, we want to put our meat in your mouth. And then there's a picture of a beautiful woman.
Oh, come on, man. I can only mean one thing.
What a... You got a real sewer for a mind. You know that? Both of you guys.
Both of us, huh?
Yeah. You and this David.
Yes, sir.
Really. Yeah, go to... Are you Catholic? Go to confession. Clean your brain up. There's nothing
wrong
with
advertising. I am a church-going person.
You're a whole church?
Church.
Okay.
And if you ask anybody... Take a vote on that, and they'll let you know.
Bull
crap. Hendry. Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico. Phil Hendry.
The world-famous Phil Hendry Show here every night until 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news-talking entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch on this show, and we go places other talk shows wish they could, but they don't dare. Of course, we have our website, philhendryshow.com. That's where you can go and get live video of the show right now. If you're watching the show, then you know this. You're watching Phil TV in HD, and on occasion, of course, on Phil TV in HD, we are... showing you clips of this, that, something else, things that might be in the news. During our news and information hour, we do that. But you just watch us performing the show. You get a backstage pass. You can hear all of our archive material. And by the way, tonight at midnight, we announce the winner of Midnight will be the first day of February, which is Black History Month and Phil History Month. So at midnight, we'll announce the winner of our free BSP. On the line with us here from Beverly Hills, California, is our very good friend Ted Bell, as we talk about the advertising slogan of his restaurant that's gotten a little bit of heat.
Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse, come on down.
Well, thank you very much, Phil. This is Ted from Ted's of Beverly Hills, and I'll tell you something.
As long as there is breath in my body, as long as there's breath in my soul, we've got dinner to serve you. We want to put our meat in your mouth. Go ahead.
We want to put our meat in your mouth.
There it is. We want to put our meat in your mouth. That's what has caused the controversy. That's what's caused some of the people. And I mentioned the names of these individuals, which you sort of poo-pooed, Ted.
Well, they're religious leaders in the Southern California area, and I don't think that there's any secret to the fact that these people can, at the drop of a hat, marshal the forces of God knows how many phone callers.
Well, we haven't been exactly, you know, I know how that game is played, so I don't get swayed by phone calls, believe me.
But when you get a letter from a religious leader, then, Phil, and I respect you, but I think you tend to get a little shy. I think you tend to get a little schoolmarmish.
I get schoolmarmish when?
When you get a letter from anybody that has, a theologian, you know, attached to his name. And I think that what I said to the gentleman who called last hour, when that man was, and by the way, I want to say something right now. I'm sick to my stomach of NASA, the National Aeronautics and Space Administration, and I want to make a comment about that at some point. Is that okay?
Yeah. Why?
Because I see there's sex and...
What?
Never mind. I'm disgusted by the National Aeronautics and Space Administration allowing sex, and I mean, you know what I'm talking about, to take place inside the cabins of these weightless aircraft. You know what I'm saying?
No, I do not know what you're saying.
All right, well, I guess that makes me sound like I'm insane, right?
Pretty much, yeah. Let's get back to...
Well, all right, Phil, can I explain?
No, I want to get back to this. We'll talk about the rest of it.
All right, well, I just... What I'm saying is, we want to put our meat in your mouth is a slogan that we have had for many, many years, and because I've gotten pressure from people to take that slogan off of our billboard or to take that slogan off of our advertising, I will not do it, and I don't want to appear as if I'm not working with the public on this. But, you know, when a man's driving down the road, and that guy that I talked to there from San Antonio, really, and he screamed, you could tell he had mental issues. And
well, he was saying that he didn't want to have to talk about it in front of his daughters, but he'd have to because his wife would probably spill the beans. His whole thing, you know.
Well, his thing was that he had three, quote, women in the car. Well, he's got one woman and a 4- and a 5-year-old. And he said that he couldn't, that he'd be ganged up on. I understand how it is, but I dare say that I think I'd have a hard time with a 4- and a 5-year-old.
877-876-PHIL is the number here on the Phil Hendry Show. Let's go to a phone call. On the line we have Lori. Hi, Lori. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Ted Bell.
Hello, ma'am. Hello?
Yes, ma'am. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Okay. Sorry about that.
Hi, this is Ted Bell.
I would like to say first, I would never censor you because we live in the United States, and I do believe that it's our great right to never have to be censored. But I do agree with a lot of people in thinking that it is inappropriate in the fact that you know what many people think, even though it's not, it's mostly dirty-minded people, but it's not even that.
Yes.
This world has brought us to this point where a lot of people immediately think that. And I think individuals that knowingly put that stuff out there, knowing the controversy that it's going to create, and knowingly continue to advertise that way, I just don't think it's a correct thing, and it's going to eventually bring this world to a very bad place, one step at a time.
Well, ma'am, this is Ted Bell. Are you saying that because I've got an advertising slogan that I paid top dollar for, and that has been effective in driving business to my restaurant, you're saying that I still need to get rid of it because some people have a sewer for a mind?
I'm not saying that you need to get rid of it. I'm saying that it's sad that the world has come to this point where we're continuing to allow, not to allow, but that people just put that out there in the world for everyone to see. I'm sure you probably have a sexy woman on there, and then there's meat. A lot of people are...
All we have is...
Meat.
Yeah.
Yeah. Go ahead.
They're going to instantly think that. I mean, whether it's right or wrong, of course it's going to bring business to you because sex sells.
Right. But, well, can I tell you something? Because this is very interesting advertising. When I was a kid, and you sound like a very young lady, you may not know this, the name of this group, but when I was a kid, I was a very big fan of a group called Black Sabbath.
Mm-hmm.
And Black Sabbath had a member of their band, and his name was Geezer Butler, all right? Now, they were British, and so, but when I was a kid, the term geezer meant a guy that used heroin. And when I heard his name was Geezer Butler, I developed a heroin habit because I wanted to be like Black Sabbath.
You're kidding.
No, I'm not. And my father, Phil, my dear father, is the one that got me off of that and got me on this. My father was an alcoholic. So I learned that a weak mind, a mind that you and I, Lori, we would never want to be around a mind like that. A weak, sniveling mind will take anything.
If we want to protect other people, if we care about other people, we want to protect those weak minds. I mean, I know this is probably
people
in my family.
Let me bring on this gentleman, Ron, who I think you got him on hold, Phil.
I didn't know we were going to put him back on the air.
I want to put him back. But, Ron, are you there? I'm right here, yeah. All right, would you explain to this lady? Ma'am, my name is Ron Beautreve, and I am a father. I live in San Antonio, Texas. I saw this billboard that said, "We want to put our meat in your mouth." I had my 4 and my 5-year-old daughters with me. I had my wife with me. I immediately pulled the car over because I was a little bit in shock and told my wife, "Did you see that?" And my wife and I began discussing it, and the next thing you know, I've got a 4-year-old in me, standing up on the back seat in my ear saying, "Discuss, what are you talking about, Daddy?" And wouldn't shut up. And before I knew it, I had 3 women. All of them wanted to know about a meat and putting it in your mouth and everything. This is what I'm trying to say to Mr.
As a father, you have to be the adult, and you have to stand up and be the man of your family and protect them from things like that. All you need to say is that it's inappropriate. Many people will take it as inappropriate. It's not necessarily inappropriate, but we need to guard our minds from things like that for those that put that out there for everyone.
Well, I was trying to do that. I was trying to do that, Lori.
How are you trying to do that, sir?
Well, I was doing hand signs to my wife. I didn't want the kids to see. So, for instance, when I saw the sign, it says, "We want to put our meat in your mouth," I opened my mouth, and I'm going, pointing to it. My daughters immediately...
At that point, you should have said, "This is not a discussion for now. If we want to discuss this, we can discuss this at home." Because I know that's what my husband would have done. He would have not brought that up in front of children.
I did not bring it up. I didn't bring it up in front of... Yes, ma'am. I didn't bring it up in front of children because I was using hand signals. And so I was saying to my wife, I don't know how to do it on the radio, but I was...
In the car with young children is inappropriate.
Yes.
Completely.
If you're pointing to your mouth, sir, and going,
This is... Now I agree with Mr. Bell. Now I agree with Mr. Bell when he says people have nothing but septic tanks inside their skull.
I agree.
Wait a second. Lori, you say you agree, but this guy has got a 4 to 5-year-old, and he's going, pointing to his mouth and doing all of this inappropriate stuff.
Exactly,
I've been listening to this guy. He is not necessarily the famous person in the world.
I see. Okay, I see. So, in other words, I'm the father, I've got the daughters, I've got the wife, but all of you people are going to judge me like I'm a monkey in a locked ward. Okay, thank you.
I do apologize, sir. We did not. I personally did not mean to judge you, but I do think it's inappropriate to talk about that. You may to your adult wife.
I agree. I agree with Lori.
To your adult children.
Yeah, I agree with Lori.
Well, Lori, and I agree with you, Lori, as well. But I'm saying it's got nothing to do with that. It has to do with steak, and it doesn't have. Not when I have to go and point to my mouth and put my
Oh, sir, you're disgusting. Hang on. Lori, thank you very much for your call, too. I appreciate it very, very much. 877-876-PHIL, here on a world-famous Phil Hendry show. Yes, sir, we're going to a break.
You're saying that I'm disgusting because I went... I went, my wife wanted to know, and I said, you know how you talk? And I went, I was doing that.
He's a moron. Not only is he a moron, but I can see why maybe the kids are smarter than him. Probably the little girls who are 4 and 5 go, okay, Dad, we'll take it from here. What's the problem? Because you're a blithering idiot, and we know you're going to butcher it. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. World-famous Phil Henry Show here, talking with Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills on why his slogan, we want to put our meat in your mouth, is meeting so much resistance and so much protest from many of our listeners and other advertisers. The world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show. This is the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Ted from Ted's of Beverly Hills. You know, I feel that the First Amendment of the United States of America is very important. And if I want to put an advertising slogan on my restaurant that I think is going to bring you into the restaurant, then we all feel we have those rights.
Ted Bell with us here. Thank you, Ted. And we have people calling, and, you know, people are agreeing. People are disagreeing with the advertising slogan.
Yeah, but what I'm trying to say is, Phil, I appreciate people's opinion. I really do. But I don't. You know, it doesn't really have much effect because I have a right, I have a constitutional right to put onto my business a slogan, an advertising gimmick of some kind that I feel is going to draw business. It's my business.
Right, but you don't want to do anything overtly sick.
No, of course I wouldn't want to.
All right, your billboard says we want to put our meat in your mouth. You have a picture of a girl in a bathing suit.
She's a model.
And it says Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse.
Right.
Now, couldn't somebody confuse that for some strip joint or...
I beg your pardon?
Well, what I meant by that is...
Whoa. I beg your pardon. See, understand what you're saying, Phil. You're calling my restaurant a steakhouse that is patronized by some very serious industry people as well as families from across the city, and you're telling me that my billboard looks like I'm inviting people to Cheetahs or to Olympic Gardens or something like that?
I don't know. I mean, is there a steak?
Boy, I don't know what to say to you.
Is there? I'm just asking. How do people know it's a steakhouse?
Because it says Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse. That's what it says.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. That was my only question, and I apologize. 877-876-PHIL. Let's go over to a phone call here. We got Stacy on the line. Stacy, go ahead. You're on with Ted Bell.
Hey, Ted.
I'm sorry to raise my voice.
Yeah, that's no problem. I just can't believe you really. I don't know. I don't think you should let people get to you like this. It is your business. They're going to have lovers. You're going to have haters, and this has been going on forever. Society's allowed us to think this way, and there's nothing wrong with it. I was driving down the road. I couldn't believe what I heard when I heard your jingle. But at the same time, I was also thinking about other things at the same time. So Victoria's Secret can't have half-naked mannequins because that's going to sell sex, and we're going to have to explain that to the children who are 45
riding
around in that car. Do I need to explain to my children why I'm going into that store and why I'm buying what that model's wearing? I don't think so.
Exactly. And look, I looked up some advertising slogans that could be interpreted in a less than family way. You may remember there was a time when M&M's had do you know M&M's, the candy? You know the candy?
Yeah.
They used to say melts in your mouth, not in your hand. Now I can take that and turn that into something that is so depraved and base that, you know, the devil himself would swing the gates of hell open for the manufacturers of M&M's. Well, you can laugh if you want, but see, I'm the guy that's being persecuted.
Oh, no.
Hold on.
Yeah, and here's another one. Just another one. Where is it? Oh, yeah. Remember Colonel Sanders, the chicken place? They used to have a slogan called Finger Lickin' Good. Now, you could turn that into, well, I would, even now, I'd be afraid to just walk up to somebody and say, finger-licking good, because I'd probably take a knee to the genitals and...
Come on, man!
Well, yeah, perception and interpretation are powerful tools, and it
exactly.
Uses on a daily basis in unfair bias, and especially during political times. It's absolutely ridiculous, and I totally get what you were implying. If you want,
so
to
you agree with,
taste,
yeah.
Totally get
yeah.
to taste the rainbow. It implies, hello, the rainbow's always been a sign of gay patriotism, all that.
Of gay, yeah, there you go, gay patriotism.
So I'll say it on the radio, and you know what? He's right, but he's feeding. I do think, unfortunately, he gets to feed into it a little. But I'm also, I'm sorry.
How am I feeding into it? How am I feeding into it? I mean, I'm trying to defend my business, you know.
Exactly.
And when the guy said, taste the rainbow, and I'm like, do we have to expose our kids to every gay issue?
That's a Skittles advertising slogan. You don't know that?
Okay, and mine is a steakhouse, but you want to turn it into a slogan for a bordello.
Yes, they're turning it into something it's not.
Exactly.
All right, let me get Ron back on the line. We have this father from San Antonio on the line. Ron, are you there?
I'm right here, yeah.
Okay, Ron, you heard the discussion, and we have on the line here Stacy. What do you say?
Well, I can tell you right now that I'm listening to you people, but I'm not believing it. I've got a 4- and a 5-year-old daughter, and no matter how hard I tried to cover up the meaning of we want to put our meat in your mouth, my daughters were immediately standing on the back seat looking at me like I was stupid.
I don't want to
you were
stupid at all, but the conversation, like the last lady said, I've got a 9-year-old and a 13-year-old boy, and there is something that society used to respect and allow, and that was less is more. In a conversation where it's appropriate and or where it's not, you were secretly trying to get your wife to understand what you were seeing and
yes.
adjust.
Well, of course.
And see that,
yes,
and
ma'am.
See that you didn't agree and that you had a disgusted opinion of it.
Yes, ma'am.
And I totally get that. I totally can respect
right.
your side of that, but at the same time, you know, you can stop that conversation. You're the adult and you're in control. I've stopped many conversations like that could have happened with me and my best friend as we see something that's sexual innuendos or something that's not...
I want to ask Ron, what did you do, Ron? Let me ask Ron, what did you do, Ron, that was trying to hide it?
Well, the first thing that I did, Mr. Henry, is I pulled the car over because I was shaken. I couldn't believe I saw a sign that says we want to... Is the lady there?
I am, sorry.
Okay, what were you doing?
I was coughing and clearing my throat. I'm on my headset.
Well,
sorry.
It sounded like were you laughing at me?
No, I'm serious. I'm not.
You were laughing at me.
I will if you want me to, but I wasn't.
Take it easy, Ron, okay? Can we?
All right, well, I pulled the car over because I was shaking, and I said to my wife, I made a signal like I didn't want to talk about it, but I pointed to my mouth. I opened my mouth. And I don't know how to describe this, that you'll allow it on the radio, but I made a circular fingers and just went, ah.
To say that on the radio? And
oh, my God, no, I didn't. Oh, my God, no, I did. No, I did not, ma'am. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Yeah, we'll be right back. Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL.
Oh, my God.
Phil Henry. World-famous Phil Henry Show.
Ted's of Beverly Hills. Steakhouse, come on down.
This is Ted from Ted's of Beverly Hills, and we have Ron. Ron's with us. who does not agree with me using the slogan, "We want to put our meat in your mouth," but we've been using it for a long time now.
We want to put our meat in your mouth.
There you go. I don't know. I can tell you right now, I don't think that it's right, and I've mentioned that to a couple of the people that I had called the station about.
You were in Los Angeles.
I was in Southern California with my wife and my daughters. We're visiting the grandparents, my wife's parents, and that's when we saw Mr. Bell's billboard. But where were you? We were on the 405 freeway. All right, well, you saw the one on the west side. That's right. And at that time when I saw that, I was a little stunned because I've never seen "We Want to Put Our Meat in Your Mouth" on a billboard. And I said to my wife, "Can you believe?" And I realized the kids were in the back seat, so I began to use the hand gestures. And you put your finger and your thumb together as in a circle. That's correct. And I moved it back and forth.
Well, you know what? I don't expect that little children are going to understand what that means. But I don't know why you even needed to bring it up. That's my point.
That's what I'm saying, Phil. When you have a stinking, backed up toilet for a mind, and excuse me, sir, I don't have a stinking, backed up toilet for a mind. I'm a father of two children. I'm a father of a little boy. Well, I've got two daughters, and I think it's a lot different when you've got little daughters who look up at a billboard and they see what you've got up there.
Well, it's a lady in a bathing suit.
Yeah, with the slogan, "We want to put our meat in your mouth." Again, I got to ask you the question, sir. Do your daughters read? Are they able to read? No, they're 4 and 5 years old.
Then how did they know what it said?
They didn't know what it said until I had to pull over to just get my bearings after seeing something like that. And that's when I said to my wife, "Did you see that?" And she said, "No, I didn't." And I saw my daughters were looking at me, and I went, and I did the thing with my mouth. I just pointed my mouth going, "Ah." And you gentlemen can laugh if you want. No, I'm not laughing, sir. I am trying to understand what you did. In order for her to understand what I was talking about, I made a noise that she would understand.
What noise?
I don't, sir, want to tell you that. It's none of your business. Well, I think he's talking about a gag replay. Excuse me, that's none of your business, sir.
Come on, Ted. You know what, man? Why make it filthy when you say that it is filthy, or it isn't? Why make it that way?
What? It's not filthy.
Then why make it like that? 877-876-PHIL here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Let me get over to a phone call here as we're talking to you and to, God dang. Trying to, you know, oh. Never mind. Anyway, let's get over to a phone caller we have here. Paul, go ahead, Paul. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
Hey, I think the problem is that he used a young, sexy-looking model, because Dave Thomas made millions with a 70-year-old lady with knee-high stockings on and her bridge hat thing. Where's the beef? So if the lawmakers in that area attack you, just change it from "We want to put our meat in your mouth" to "We want to put our beef in your mouth" and see what they say. Do you guys know who...
Well, there's a big difference, sir, though. I understand your point, and I appreciate that. But there is a big difference between an old lady and a sexy model.
Well,
and, you know, we're not sitting here saying that... I really don't know what you're getting at. Well, I can tell you what he's getting at. He wants to have it be about, it's still going in the mouth. Of course it is.
It's still going in the mouth, and Dave Thomas made millions by getting you to put beef in your mouth. And what's the difference?
Dave Thomas didn't say "put beef in your mouth." That's my slogan. You know, Dave Thomas said, "Where's the beef?"
Exactly, and what he's saying is in your mouth. What's the difference? This 70-year-old lady saying, "Where's the beef? Where's the beef?"
I agree.
You can turn it into anything you want to turn it into. He's simply saying, "Where's the meat? It's at my restaurant. Come
right,
eat it."
Right.
That's
right.
All he's saying.
And so Paul is agreeing with you, Ted, but Ron, Paul disagrees with you.
Well, I don't know. You know, I don't know. I'm going to go back to saying what I had said before, that I've got two girls in the car who...
You're not prepared to raise girls. You're not prepared to be a father.
Because
I beg your pardon.
What you did, because actually what you did, someone could turn around and turn call Child Protective Services on you.
Are you out of your mind?
Oh, yeah.
Are you out of your mind?
You said that you took a 4- and 5-year-old, opened your mouth, and did some gesture as if you were performing oral sex. And
no, sir, I did not. No, I did not. No, I did it to my wife. No, sir, I was talking to my wife. The girls were overhearing it.
Oh, but hold up. But you don't think a 4- and 5-year-old are watching their dad and mother in a such engaged conversation? Listen, if a
70-year-old they don't know what it means.
If a 70-year-old lady in knee-high stockings and her bridge hat can say where's the beef, why can't he have a sexy young model say, I want to put my beef in your, put my meat in your mouth? There's no difference. There's a baker, commercial baker named Mrs. Smith. You all guys know Mrs. Smith, right? She's in every frozen food section in America. Now,
you're talking about Sarah Lee or something like that?
Okay, Sarah Lee. If I go to Sarah Lee and say, Mrs. Lee, can I have some of your pie? You think she's going to drop her drawers? Come on, guy.
Well, I appreciate what the gentleman's saying. This is Ted, Paul. What he's saying, well, hold on. I want to say something here. Paul, if you're telling me that an old lady wanting, you know, the beef and a sexy young model wanting the meat, boy, okay, knock yourself out.
Well, what's that supposed to mean?
This guy thinks an old lady going for the beef is, it's going to gun his engine. I'm talking about something serious.
Wait a second. What the gentleman was saying, there is a sexual innuendo no matter what.
Well, let me ask this guy here, Paul. Are you saying when the old lady, that Clara Peller, whoever that old lady was, and by the way, Dave Thomas, everybody loves to kiss his rear end. You know what? On my worst day, I do more business than that guy. But anyway.
Okay, let's not knock a guy that's not here, okay?
Oh, well.
I wouldn't want to do that.
Let me just say something. Let me just say.
What if he took his commercial and put an old lady in it and said, we want to put our beef in your mouth. Would that be acceptable to you?
I don't know about you, Paul, but I've got a mother. I've got a grandmother. Oh, my God. And now you want my 4-year-old girl to look at a grandmother taking Ted's beef.
Okay, now that you want your mother and grandmother.
Oh, my God, I got to tell you. You know, this is the most asinine conversation.
All right, Mr. Henry, I've got a 4- and 5-year-old.
Yeah, you've told me you've got a 4- and 5-year-old. And instead of just ignoring it, Paul, I appreciate your call. I got to move on. Instead of just waiting till you got home, you know.
I'm not going to wait till I got home when I see something so glaringly wrong with the world. And that's Mr. Ted Bell with, I want to put my meat in your mouth. Sir, that is about a steak. I've been telling everyone that's about a steak. You can tell everyone it's about a steak when you got a billboard with a woman, and she's dressed like she's dressed for the champagne room. Oh, get out of here! That's exactly what she's dressed for, the champagne room. And I've got a 4-year-old daughter who is leaning in and in my ear saying, what are you talking about? What are the two of you calling? Tell what, like that. What do you want me to do, backhander? Hey, let me tell you what. If I had a 4-year-old daughter who was butting into my adult conversation, I wouldn't backhand her, but I would, let me put it to you this way. I'd get out a handy wipe and start wiping off the back of one hand just, you know, so she'd get the message. Whatever. You know, sir, you could say whatever. You think you're the father of the year with your two little girls. I've got a 13-year-old son that I've had to explain some things to. And let me tell you, even though it's a model in a bathing suit, and even though, yes, with a 13-year-old boy, it's probably something that you might clap him on the back and say, someday, son, all of that is yours. Okay, go ahead, laugh. Still, you want him to treat that woman with respect, even after he's, well, I guess I'm getting in a little deep, but I was going to say even after he shows her a billfold, but
come on.
You guys think that this is disrespecting a woman is funny. I have two daughters. Yeah, we get it already about your daughters. God, you and your daughters, pal. You think there's something wrong with me having daughters? Frankly, yes. Say that again. Frankly, yes. Why? Well, to be honest with you, I don't know whether you are competent to have daughters. You heard what the one lady said. Well, I will say this. I wouldn't disrespect you and say you're not competent to have a son, but you're probably not competent enough to have a wife that you don't even know what to do with her. Well, now you've gotten on the fighting side of me. Yeah? That's right.
Okay, gentlemen, enough. 877-876-PHIL. Now you've got on the fighting side of me. Where are we going here, man? Let's go to Dan. Hey, Dan, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Ted Bell and Ron. Go ahead.
Thank you very much, Phil. Ted,
yes,
I'm
sir.
Going to Miami in 3 weeks. I hope to visit your restaurant, and I want to put your meat in my mouth. Send your ad agency an extra 10%, will you? They did an excellent job. Ron, I'm glad Paul said it before I did. If I saw you pulled over on the side of the road, making those gestures, doing that in front of those kids, I would have called the police.
Why? What are you going to do? What are you going to tell the police? That the man was doing hand gestures?
Absolutely.
And when the cops laugh and hang up on you.
You pointed something out. Those children had no idea what was going on. You brought it to their attention.
And when the cops laugh and hang up on you, what are you going to do there?
If a teacher had done that, you would have saw that teacher charged. You should not be doing that. You should not have.
No, maybe in your burg. Maybe up in your burg. But I'm a father, and I've got two daughters. And when this guy puts a billboard up, see, you are defending a guy that wants to plunge the toilet of his mind and scoop it up and throw it up on a billboard. That's what you want to do. And I'm saying he doesn't get to do that. No, sir, not on my watch. So when I see that billboard and I
First
pull
Amendment,
over and I tell...
tough one.
Oh, yeah, First Amendment. In other words, let's have a strip joint 2 feet from a school. That's First Amendment, too, right?
That doesn't pertain to, Ron.
I think you need to know your law, sir. You want to put a Playboy magazine right there, a Playboy magazine rack right next to a little kid?
All right, let's not talk about that, because we're not talking about that, Ron. We're talking about a man that's got a steakhouse. And by the way, you can travel any freeway in Southern California or anywhere. I don't know where Dan's from. Any major metropolitan area, and you will see billboards for gentlemen's clubs.
You bet.
For strip clubs.
Absolutely.
They're not tasteless. They're tasteful. They have a phone number, and they've got beautiful women. But there's nothing that I would say that is obscene.
Well, do they say we want to go ahead and put our meat in your mouth?
It's a steakhouse, man. A steakhouse.
Thank you. But, Ron, what you want to do is I respect you for being a father, but you want to make a simple situation worse. So you pulled over. And instead of just saying, hey, I'll talk about it, honey, when we get home, good thing the kids didn't see it, you pull over, and you're going, I didn't say, But what did you do? I said to my wife, I said, the billboard that we just saw over there, and then I went, I made a gagging sound. Okay, you guys can laugh about that. And
you made a gagging sound?
Yes.
Boy, I'll tell you, man. This guy, Dan, is right.
I think so.
Why would you have
He's right
that
about what?
A 4- and 5-year-old girl.
A cop sees...
Because I wanted my wife to understand. Are you guys listening to me, or is this
you
just your way
this
of...
to your wife as well? You have to explain this to your wife. Your wife is not adult enough that she figured it out on her own. Or had
She didn't see the
billboard. She didn't have the same impression of the billboard that you did then.
She
right?
didn't see it, sir. She didn't see it.
Then why did you even point it out? Why did you bring it up?
Yeah.
It seems like
I knew the kids
like should have been left alone.
Do you live with? Do you have daughters? If you live with three women, as I do, you know that sooner or later they're going to be. They won't leave you alone until you lock yourself in a closet. Hey, Daddy.
So why would
you
bring up the billboard? Couldn't you have brought up another subject?
I knew sooner or later they wouldn't leave me alone. Because I knew sooner or later they wouldn't leave me alone about it.
Bringing up the billboard and showing, animating, miming oral
right.
sex was what? The right type of entertainment?
Why even bring it up? Why not wait? If you say the kids are going to bring it up, why not wait until they bring it up?
Oh, yeah, sure. Right when I'm in the middle of watching... Oh, forget it.
Oh, right in the middle of your TV viewing, your daughters are going to come in and say, hey, Daddy, can we talk to you?
Oh. Don't
Unbelievable.
Let them bother
all right.
You know what? All three of you guys, you, Mr. Hendry, this man, Dan, and you, Mr. Bell... You know something? I'm very, very happy that I'm going to be here enjoying a cup of lemonade when the three of you are probably meeting the devil at the gates of hell and getting your seating assignments.
That was beautiful. I'll be in good company. I will be in very
All right, man. Thanks for your call, Dan. 877. Oh, boy, we cut off Ted there. 877. I'll be having a cup of lemonade, and the three of you will be getting your seating assignments in hell. 877-876-PHIL, world famous. Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch.
You're
the
so
Phil Henry Show.
You really are.
Oh, relax, will you?
You're listening to the world famous Phil Henry Show.
Everything that they were doing.
All right, hold on, Ron. Hold on. Our number 877-876-PHIL. We're on with a gentleman by the... Ron, I don't even know your last name.
My last name, Phil, is Ron Burlingame, but we live in San Antonio. We were in California. I remember asking the man what his confusion was. He said, well, you know, how do you know there's no Ted of Beverly Hills in San Antonio? I wouldn't have one in San Antonio, sir. If you're an example of the citizenry there, well, thank you very much for that insult. And you have taken my advertising for an honest business, and you've turned it into something profane and foul. You've turned it into, I think what you, didn't you say that I need to take a toilet plunger to my head? I said you needed to take a toilet plunger, yes, figuratively speaking, yes. You need to take a toilet plunger to your head to suck some of the toilet mess out of it and slap it on a billboard. Yeah. Don't you think, are you paying me a compliment? No, I'm not at all. Then why would I want you or any of your kind to come into my restaurant? Believe me when I tell you, mister, I wouldn't come into your restaurant, okay? That's the whole point I'm trying to make here. And
well, all right, look, you guys are going round and round here, but the fact is you are upset with the advertising. You would not go into that restaurant, but I think what you've done here, Ron, is you've taken it a step further here. You are talking about how you communicated it to your daughter. You're talking about how you communicated it to your wife.
That's right. I communicated it the best way that I knew how. What I said was to Cassie and to Eleanor, I said, I didn't say anything to them, but I knew they were in a back seat. I looked at their mother, all right, and I said to my wife, look, we just passed a billboard. And
what is your wife's name?
I'd rather not say what my wife's name is, if you don't mind.
Well, you've given us your daughter's names.
No. Well, you just broke the anonymity of your daughter. What's your wife's name? And why would you... Well, boy, you're really anxious to know that, huh? You want to get her up on a billboard?
Oh, come on, grow up.
No, I just want to know what her name is. Her name's Cindy. Okay. God. Well, I mean, you're all wanting to know everyone's name. I don't want to get, sir, I'm a family man, and I'm a businessman, and I would never want to disrespect any man's family. You, on the other hand, with all due respect, you sound like a blithering idiot. Okay, thank you. I'm not offending you or anything, am I? With every word out of your mouth.
All right, hold on. So, you were making a point here, Ron, about what?
About when I said to Mr. Bell, I said, if you're going to... take a toilet plunger to your head in a figurative way. That's what you'd have to do. That's what I'd have to do what? To get a slogan out of your skull, like we want to put it in the mouth. We want to put it in the mouth. The meat is what I'm saying. All right. And you would have to take a toilet plunger to your skull to get the material needed.
All right, we understand that Mr. Bell has a sewer system up there between his ears.
No, I didn't say sewers. I said a toilet. Big difference. All right, there's a big difference. And I think the point is made that I have garbage between my ears. More than garbage. So now, when I see a billboard that says we want to put our meat in your mouth, and I know that's from the Ted's of Beverly Hills restaurant, I'm going to go the other way. Good. I hope you do. And you don't care. No, I do not care, sir. I don't want you in my restaurant. And I'll tell you one other thing, too. Now, just hearing your comments, I wouldn't want you. I wouldn't want your kids in my restaurant. I don't want your entire family because I don't know what you've done to the minds of those children who now think that, you know, and you're in a gag reflex.
I had to let my wife know what was on the billboard, so I went like that. And she knows what that means. She better.
Phil
does it every night.
Why, you dirty...